for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 3rd, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on Taking Your Thoughts Captive.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, nearly breaks
No, I'm going to call Jerry up. Jerry, I want you to come up and see if the lighting's right for you here. You sure? Because we can move this forward a little bit if you want. Okay, good.
I love this camp so much. How many of you can agree? You know, I've been coming since 1997, and I can tell you every time I leave better than I came. And I'm sure those of you who've been more than once can testify to that. Anyway, that's what it's all about. And, you know, we don't ever quit repenting. I repented. God showed me something a few days ago. Somebody said something, and I'm telling you, it just bothered me so bad. And it was to someone else. And the Lord showed me I'd done the very same thing. Never saw it. You know, what you sow, you're going to reap. And when something bothers you, you can always be sure it, your conscience isn't clear or it wouldn't be bothering you. Amen? But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. In fact, I was thinking about chunking this message. I mean, I felt so weak and hopeless when I was doing it. But if any good comes out of it, it'll be because God did it, okay? Okay. iPad turn. This message is entitled, well, let me pray first. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you that that name is the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're our Lord, our Master, our King. And we acknowledge that this is your meeting. You're the healer, the deliverer. And Lord, thank you that when you saved us, that you not only saved us, but that word saved means, you said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, we will be saved, which means preserved, healed, delivered, and made whole. Thank you, Lord. Praise you for your word, that you watch over your word to perform it. Lord, thank you that signs and wonders accompany the teaching of your word. And Lord, I thank you that when your word goes forth this day and at this camp, it will not return void. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We say there is no God like you. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. Lord, you said that Satan blinds the eyes of those that are lost. And so we tell you, Satan, you let go of every person in this room. You will not blind any person at this camp, any child. We command you to let go in Jesus' name. We bind you in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, we nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this place, over our lives, over the ministries represented here, over our family, our children, in the name of Jesus, over everything that concerns us. We declare that every curse assignment is broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that your blessings are poured out on this camp in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bless the finances. We pray that every person who's ever been helped by anything they've heard at this camp will send gifts to this ministry in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you will, you said if I commit my way to you, that you will establish my thoughts. So Lord, I'm counting on that. I thank you for that. Thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Thank you for all your gifts, Lord. We receive them by faith. Extraordinary wisdom, knowledge, insight, dreams, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems that you gave Daniel. Lord, I pray that my words will be like a goad, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the shepherd, in Jesus' name. You are our good shepherd, our great physician. Praise the Lord. Well, the title of this message is Take Your Thoughts Captive Because What You Think Can Make You Sick. Amen. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, doubt, fear, anxiety comes from the words of the devil, which is opposite to the word of God. Is that correct?
Yes.
God says his word will not return void. If you've been like me, I've been listening to the devil too much as of about a month ago. I'm not listening to him at all anymore. I don't give him an inch. usually he speaks, you're going to go blind, you're going to this, you're going to go broke, this is going to happen, your kids are going to blah, 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 blah. The minute he starts a scenario, I say, no, I rebuke you, and I start quoting the Word of God, because it does not return void. Is that correct? Is the Word of God sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing the Word of truth, piercing even the dividing asunder of joint and marrow, soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? Is that what the Word says? We need to speak the Word more, right? Because You can by what you listen to, you can either increase your faith or you can ignite fear, doubt, and unbelief. Fear. Fear is one of the most dangerous sins. I mean, I'm seeing this so clearly by a precious person I know that's been diagnosed with 4th stages cancer of the liver, kidney, spine, pelvic area. And the Lord has shown me how dangerous fear is. This person is probably has been one of the most godly women, loves the Word of God, but fear would always cause her to back off. And so we've got to get over fear. Every fear in our life has to be overcome if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus, if we want to walk in divine health.
Amen.
But you can listen. And what you hear can either give you a healing or make you sick, depending on what you're listening to. You know, the body of Christ, all of us have had rejection, all of us. But if we walk around in rejection, which comes out of fear of man, fear of rejection, fear that'll cause me to compromise, fear will destroy your immune system. 1 Corinthians 10, 4, 5, and 6 says, the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then it says we can punish every disobedience when our obedience is complete. Isaiah 65, 2, God says, I spread my hands all day long to a people who walk in a way not good, following after their own thoughts. And, of course, any thought I have that does not line up with the Word of God is a thought right from the pit of hell. And so I'm learning to not entertain any negative thought. Anything that contradicts the Word of God, I reject immediately, because the more I do that, the more my faith is built. The more I listen to this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, it increases fear in my life. It's not an option that we take our thoughts captive. Well, how do you do that? How do you take your thoughts captive? Well, first of all, you've got to recognize what is the source. If you don't know the Word of God, you're in trouble. We're living in days that you better know what the Word of God says, because God says if you don't love the truth, God will send you a strong delusion so that you will believe a lie and cannot be saved. And I caution you about some of the things that are going on in the name of revival, in the name of prophets. If he's a true prophet, he's going to tell you to repent of your sin. Otherwise, you need to chunk the prophet. He's not interested in Wall Street. He's not interested in how much money you're going to get. In fact, if he can keep you poor and glorify himself, the most he'll do that. And so be careful what you listen to. And you know what? I include the nightly news in that, because the nightly news tells you that ISIS is going to cut your head off, or that you're going to get Ebola or some other thing. And then you worry about bills, and you live in worry, fear, anxiety, stress, nervousness, and that'll destroy your immune system. Someone has said, you're not what you think you are, but you're what you think you are. In other words, we might think we're a loser. We might think that we're sick. We might think all this stuff, but it's what we think we are. And so God says in his word, in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, how do you take your thoughts captive? First of all, you have to recognize the source. You have to realize, how did they get there? You know, how a child is trained up is how his life goes. Right. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So if you're trained up to be rejected, you have an expectation that everybody's going to reject you. If you're trained up to not be loved, you're going to have an expectation that nobody's going to love you. And however you're trained up is how your life's going, because those judgments set in motion forces that cause you to keep on reaping the very same thing. So for me to take my thoughts captive, I have to recognize, how did this rejection get there? How did the feelings of not love, the feelings that I'm a failure, how did that get there? I have to forgive my parents, usually, or all my parents. If you grew up in an orphanage, you have to forgive every person that was an authority figure that raised you. You forgive, and then you take accountability. You know, if you have a thought, you can just immediately reject it. But if it keeps coming back, you need to find out how it got there, through some childhood trauma or however, and deal with your childhood issues. Then you can take the thought captive. And so if you can't take it captive, you need to find out why. There's a reason. But, you know, if you can quickly take it captive, then you can take it captive. But if you can't, you need to find out how it got there. Matthew 15 says, "But the words you speak come from the heart, and that is what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what's good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what's evil." Now, you don't have to really be evil for you to have evil thoughts. It's stuff that's been stored down in your heart from the generations before you. Because every thought is coming out of the heart, and then anything that's in the heart comes out the mouth. And so that's how you know what's down in the heart. It goes on to say, "But I tell you that every careless word that men shall speak, they'll have to give an account of on the day of judgment." Well, why is that? Because your heart reveals what you say and what you think reveals what's in your heart. And it says, "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." So we have to deal with heart issues in order to take our thoughts captive. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, "Take care how you listen, because to him who has will more be given, and to him who thinks he has, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." So we're to take, Jesus said, take care, be careful what you listen to. And that includes movies and TV. And you know what? God says without sanctification or holiness, no man will see the Lord. And so you keep planting garbage down in your heart. Guess what's going to come up in your thought life? Come out your mouth. And so it's impossible to live a holy life and saturate yourself with garbage. Now, some of you may not like that, but it's the truth. And you know it, whether you want to agree with me or not. You know, it took me a whole year to get rid of the TV. I read a book by David Wilkerson called Put the Trumpet to Your Mouth, where God told him, if you want to choose the anointing of God or if you want to choose the TV, you've got to choose. And he chose to get rid of the TV. And it took me a whole year. I struggled with that. But I praise God. I have not missed it one second. So what we listen to can build your faith, or it can ignite fear. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over his word to perform it, carrying out the voice of his command." So if I'm speaking the word, guess what? The angels are going to carry out the voice of God's word. So that's why it's important not to listen to anything that contradicts the word of God, because if God watches over his word to perform it, the devil watches over his word, which is the opposite of God's word. So if you're hearing a voice that contradicts God's word, you know it's the devil. And so it's an antichrist spirit, the devil. And so what you listen to and what you receive in your heart can make you sick. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it'll be removed if you don't doubt in your heart, but if you believe what you say. Well, for so long I've been able to, when I say speak to the mountain, then the doubt would be there. And so the Lord showed me there's something down in my heart that would cause the doubt, so I can't speak to the mountain. You understand what I'm saying? And so God says you can speak to the mountains in your life if you don't doubt and you believe what you say. Well, find out if you can't believe it. I've been on a quest to find out why I've had a hard time believing, and the Lord showed me it was because I was listening to the voice of the enemy. And so in the parable of the sower, God sows the sower goes out and he sows the word of God, which is the seed, and it falls on good ground, and it produces fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, when I am speaking the words the devil says to me, I'm sowing thorns and thistles down in my spiritual garden that choke out the word of God. That has been a revelation to me. And I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm thankful the Lord has given me victory that I don't listen to what the devil tells me anymore. I'm going to listen to God's word. And my faith has been built up since I've done that. And it's going to increase. The more I speak God's word, the more my faith. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, my faith will be built up the more I speak the word. Amen?
Amen.
Hear myself speak. So what you think can make you sick. Some people are sick because they don't love themselves. They don't like themselves. They reject themselves. They hate themselves. They're sad. They don't like the way God created them. And you see, if that's working in our life, we have a big demon problem. I can say at one time in my life, I hated myself. But I can tell you, God has so delivered me from self-hatred, self-rejection. I actually, and I don't mean I like myself now. It's not with an arrogant word. It's made me more dependent upon the Lord. But when we have those things working in our life, they're demonic. And God wants you to love yourself. In fact, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body, and your neighbor as yourself. Three things he says there that's a command. Love God with your whole heart, love other people, and love yourself. And so when we don't love ourselves, we can't love anyone else. Because to the degree you love yourself, you'll be able to love other people. And so what it means to love yourself is not to have an arrogance or a haughtiness, but it's to love yourself with the same love that God has for you. To see yourself with God's estimation of you and not what the devil's been telling you your whole life. There's a field of medicine called psychogenetic studies and psychogenetic studies that tell you that every thought you have will affect your body. And I'm going to add to that, it'll either affect your body in a negative or a positive way. So that's why we have to take our thoughts captive. It says that it calls people that don't love themselves, it doesn't say they don't love themselves, they call them severely depressed. And, you know, severely depressed people will, all of us have been depressed at one time or another in our life, and we can say we've all been rejected, but in varying degrees. But, lost my train of thought. Anyway, God wants us to accept ourselves and to love ourselves so we can love other people and fulfill His commandments. For me to be able to speak to the mountain, I have to believe that I can speak to it. And today I just want to talk a little bit about psychogenic illness studies, but more importantly, I want to tell you what God's Word says about it. But this has been proven in medical science. Dr. Deborah here on the front row will confirm that even in the Journal of American Medicine, it confirms these studies. And even though a doctor may say, well, you know, I don't really know the cause of your problem, most of them can agree that your thoughts do play a part in your health or your sickness. And so in studies of psychogenic illnesses, they say that 80% of chronic diseases are affected by or made worse by the things you think. there is a book a man wrote, and I can only think of his last name as Stroman, but he wrote a book called Healing Through Sanctification. And in it, he says 87% and 98% of people with sickness and disease, it has to do with their thought life, because they've received the lies of the enemy, or they've lived in fear. In a stressful situation, God has designed your body to do marvelous things. For example, say you're walking down the road or something, and you see a bus coming towards you that you didn't see it. And so immediately your brain causes your body to pour in cortisol and to pour in adrenaline and some other chemicals in that stressful situation. And cortisol's job is to shut down all the systems of your body, your sleep patterns, your digestion, your immune system, and to shut it down and shut down anything that's not considered as needed. And your body stops producing serotonin and melatonin in those instances. Now, that's a good thing in a stressful situation. But if every day of your life, every moment of your life, you're living in fear, anxiety, and stress, instead of having a cortisol spurt, you get like a cortisol adrenal drip. And your body doesn't produce serotonin, dopamine, or melatonin. And these are things your body needs to keep your body in balance and to keep your body in harmony. And so if every day, say after stressful situations, say in your childhood or say the bus incident, you just begin to think, you know, this world's not safe. And we hear all the things about the one world order, and we hear all the things on the news of what they're going to do, and Goliath is still taunting the saints, and we hear about Ebola and sickness and disease, and you better get your flu shot, and all this stuff, and you worry about your paying your bills, you lay awake at night, and you can't pay your bills, or you worry about your bills, and you live in a stress situation. Now, my friend that I told you has been diagnosed in 4 stages of cancer, I can think of not a day in 35 years that she's not lived in fear, anxiety, and stress. Even though she's been upbeat, but if there'd be stressful situations come up, there'd be panic because of fear. And so, and please know, I'm not criticizing her at all, but because I had to have an understanding of all of this for my own, so that I'll be careful if I think I stand, lest I fall. Not judging, but Lord, show me why this blessed woman has suffered so much. It's because stress will destroy your immune system. I don't think I've known anybody ever suffer as much as she suffered, is suffering right now. And agree with me. Lord, I ask you to touch her life even now. Lord, this woman has been a full of the Word of God. She knows the Word of God. She wears Bibles out. I pray that every scripture, Lord, that she's ever read will now produce fruit in her heart, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus in her will quicken her mortal body even now. And I ask you, Lord, to heal her from the bottom of her toes to the tops of her head. And Lord, cause us to get over fear and to deal with these things so that if we think we stand, lest we fall. Because, Lord, we're all a work in progress. And so, Lord, we just ask you to bless my friend. Send your ministering angels, and we just come against and bind and rebuke the spirit of pain. We command you to leave her now in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing. And so cortisol's job is to shut down all the systems of your body. Well, you need the systems of your body, don't you? And so in an instant, our sleep patterns, our immune system, our digestion is just shut down. And our body quits producing things that we need to live a balance, to have our bodies stay in balance. In these situations of a panic situation, what happens is, like in the situation of having to get out of in front of a bus, or the other day I was turning a corner and I didn't see the black car. And when I started to turn, I realized it was right on me head on. And that was a panic situation. And so in these times, our heart beats faster, our heart rate's increased. We have tunnel vision. It's like we're able to focus on the problem at hand. And this is a good thing. But if we do it all the time, I mean, if we live in this state of fight or flight, then our immune system's destroyed. Now, I can also tell you that you hear people say, I'm just exhausted. I hear people say all the time, I'm tired. You know, millions, billions of Americans have chronic fatigue syndrome. And now what they're calling it is adrenal, adrenal failure. Anyway, it's like when your adrenal glands, all of this cortisol pouring in, your adrenal glands that release these things are, they get burned out, doctor said. It's called, is this the right word, adrenal distress, adrenal exhaustion. And I can tell you from my own experience, caffeine does the same thing to you. Causes you to live. And it works on your adrenal glands, causes them to shut down, gives you bursts of energy, and then it drops you. And I've lived that way for years and years. But I can tell you for the last year and a half, I've had more energy since I quit the caffeine than my whole life. And I thank the Lord for that. I'm not trying to take away your caffeine, okay? Nobody could have took mine away. I had to be fat on my back for a whole week, sick. And then I thought, well, Lord, I don't get sick, so Lord, what is this? Well, Lord, if it's the caffeine, some of the problems I've been having, well, Lord, I've quit. And I have, and I thank the Lord for it. So God wants us to deal with fear. Fear, anxiety, and stress. Jumped ahead of myself here. So the way God's designed our body is that in a stressful situation, our bodies pour in cortisol and adrenaline, and that helps us in a stressful situation, causes our strength to pick up, causes us to move fast, act fast, move, keep us in a fight or flight situation, but that's not good on a day-to-day basis. The Bible says over 365 times, fear not, be anxious for nothing. Goes on to say, make your request be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all knowledge will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And the word disease comes from two French words, dis-ease, which means lacking peace. Isaiah 26 says, he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him because you're trusting in him. So you could say if disease means the lack of peace, if I walk in God's peace all the time, then I can walk in divine health. It's possible to eat the best foods, no GMO, no preservatives, which I try not to, but since God's taught me this past month, I eat it and say the prayer that the lady gave, that she blesses her food, her water. So I say, Lord, I bless my food, my water. I thank you that you satisfy my mouth with good things, that I can eat or drink poison and it won't kill me, that you pardon my iniquities, you renew my youth as that of an eagle, and eagles have good eyes, and by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you for this food. Everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, if received with gratitude and thanksgiving. Amen. So praise the Lord. But we can do that. We can eat the best food, no preservatives. We can stay away from people that are sick. We can exercise. We can do all these things. And if we live in fear, we've got a problem. Fear is a demon. Fear is faith in what the devil's telling you instead of what God's telling you. It's a sin. Let me say this again. We grow up with fear and we think that's just the way we are. Can I tell you, God wants every fear out of your life. And because what Job said, what I fear comes upon me and what I dreaded befell me. So we have to overcome fear. We can't allow fear and we can't allow anger in our life. We can't allow lust and perversion. I want to say this about my friend too. I've heard this dear woman repent, confess sin over and over, and she has. but it's taken its toll. Stress has taken its toll on her. Maybe sometimes you might, how are you doing? I'm doing great. And I think, goodness, I'm just doing okay. And I feel convicted. And please know I'm not criticizing her at all. But God teaches us things that we can teach other people to avoid the pitfalls. Is that right? And so 3 John says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And that word soul means psyche, which means your thought life. So God's saying, to the degree that you line your life with the Word of God, you line your thoughts with the Word of God, you can prosper and be in good health. But you've got to continue lining yours. And you know, none of us are all lined up, are we? I like what Nikki said last night. You know, we can walk in faith, and then sometimes that don't mean we don't ever falter. I mean, I was thinking it had to be perfect all the time. That really helped me, Nikki. I appreciate that message. I appreciate that word. And so it's a progressive thing. The more we align our life with the Word, the more we speak it, the more faith we have. And so I'm thankful that the Lord's changed my life in that area, and He's changing me every day. So He's saying, to the degree that you line your life with the Word of God, you'll prosper and be in good health. Proverbs 13:12 says, in the King James says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. And of course, we wouldn't use that particular terminology or use those words. What we'd say is hopelessness can cause me to my heart to be sick. And I don't know what all that means, to have a sick heart, but it could be the root to heart problems, couldn't it? Hope deferred, even hope deferred in the generations. It means hopeless. How many times you've heard people say, well, I'm just stuck, it's never going to change, I just give up. And so that's hopeless. That makes your heart sick. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart gives a cheerful face, but when sorrow comes, the spirit is broken. So carrying around sorrow and sadness in our heart, it can break our spirit. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry or a cheerful heart, which means an undefiled heart, a joyful heart, New American Standard says, does a good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Mary, our joyful heart in this verse, says a broken spirit dries up the bones. So what does this have to say about osteoporosis and arthritis and bone cancer? It also says another place, jealousy and envy dries up the bones. I've seen someone that had bone cancer, and they died pain-free because they got in the Word of God and began repenting over bone scriptures. In fact, when they first got the cancer, they realized they were in such pain that there were 3 or 4 discs with cancer in their spine. And they began to do work studies on pain and bones, and then they ran out of their pain medicine, and they said, you know, I don't think I even need this. And so they really died pain-free in all of that, all those physical conditions. And so God's ultimate goal is not to heal you, but so that you walk in divine health. God wants you to walk in divine health. In fact, in covenant, He promised that children of Israel didn't even ask for the covenant of healing. God just gave that. He just said that by His stripes you're healed. Bones in the Hebrew means your substance, yourself, and your life. So a broken spirit dries up the bones, dries up your substance, yourself, and your life. You know, broken spirit comes in through childhood, through generational. Many African Americans that have had forefathers that were in slavery. The pain and the trauma that's come down the generations, the arthritis, the pain, the bone problems, from the beatings and the cruel treatment, have got bone problems for that same reason. And of course, we don't have to be African American to have the trauma that's come down on all of our lives. All of us have had different traumas and pains in our life, and the brokenness has to be healed. That's why it says in Isaiah 61 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give good news to the captive, to bind up their broken hearts, to set them free, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they might be an oak of the righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man can sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit cannot, or a wounded spirit can't. In the areas that means a steadfast, rational mind, in whatever area I'm steadfast and rational, I can take it. But wherever I have a broken spirit, I get my button pushed, I get angry, I get hurt, I get depressed. And so, but a person with a broken spirit or a wounded spirit, they can't handle it. That's why you might be having a happy day until somebody pushes one of your wounded buttons and you take a nosedive. And so whenever you take a nosedive, you have to find out why. Hey, the good news is God wants to heal all of that. There was a time in my life I could get my button pushed. And I mean, I might once a year get my button pushed. I don't get my button pushed anymore, but I used to, boy. And I wasn't a person that would just, well, I would store it up for about 6 months. And I could feel it going. And then, boy, after about 6 months of that, I was like a volcano, and you better get out of the way. I'm thankful I don't do that anymore. We shouldn't put up with these kind of things. We put up with sin in our life thinking that's just the way we are. And I'm not talking about legalism. Legalism is when you're trying to turn the potter's wheel. Abiding in Christ means that you get on and all you do is yield to the potter and he takes the trash out. But to yield to him, I have to line up with him, don't I? And so the potter does all the work. There are people that carry on such brokenness and sadness. They live with rejection on the inside. I used to, if I was in a group, like a group of peers, it would be, I could just feel people reject me. And God, I did a word study on, I pulled up all the scriptures of, can't even think of the words, but anyway, I did a teaching on this years ago and I repented over all of them. Then I went to I was pastoring a church in Lindale. And when I first started going to those ministers' meetings, I could just feel them. And then after I repented over rejected, cut off, rejected, all the words in the Bible, it was rejected, cut off, reject. Anyway, the last ministers' meeting I went to, they said, oh, Jerry, how are you doing? We're so glad we've been missing you. And I went, who are they talking to? You know, I remember a time when I was in it was a panicky situation, and I can really see how this works, how you have superhuman strength when you go through this. When you, back to the bus situation, when you're in a panic situation, when your body pours in cortisol, adrenaline for stressful situations. But I was walking in Richardson, Texas, and I was listening to a tape on how to handle a demon-possessed person. And I was walking down the sidewalk, and I heard this guy running up behind me, and I thought he was running into a house. He ran up beside me and turned around and flashed at me.
Oh.
And without even thinking, I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you! And he just turned as white as this. And he was running down the road. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I mean, I tell you, I was fearless. I would have jumped on his back and killed him. I'm serious. And then when I got to the house, my legs turned to water. I got the gun and called the police. And Kyle told my daddy, he said, I'd like to, and I said, you know what? I called the police and said, I'm afraid that I saw a car come up. Now, this is how the difference between the gift of faith and being in the door, locking the door. I said, I saw a car drive by, and I thought he was going to have a friend to come get me and put me in his car. And Kyle told my daddy, he said, I'd like to see him put her in the car. And then another time when I had the farm, I had six girls living in a trailer. They were a little bit crowded, but I was in this one room, and this girl who had come out of Satanism, she just went berserk. And this girl that she went berserk at reminded her of somebody she promised she was going to kill. And so the girl run, and now this girl that came out of Satanism, she weighed about 250 pounds, and her, what she used to do is she would go and find the biggest person she could find. She was so angry, and beat him up. She could have thrown me through the trailer in the natural. And so this girl just went berserk, and so this girl she was going to kill ran in the bathroom, and without even thinking, I grabbed her, threw her on the floor, and laid on top of her just like this. I mean, I wasn't doing anything, and she was going, and my angels were holding her down. And since then, I've never had a fear of some big person in a dark alley, because when you're walking in obedience to the Lord, you have the angels working with you. I mean, she was pinned to the floor, and I was putting no pressure on her. I'm just laying on top of her. And so, but that's an example of what the cortisol and the adrenaline does when you're in a stressful situation. And I took no glory for it. When she came to, she said, what happened? And I told her. She said, you better not. I said, and I had you pinned to the floor. She said, you better not tell anybody that. But see, we can't live like that every day. We can't live in panic and fright and fear and anxiety and worry. God doesn't want us to do that. And so when the enemy wants to torment you, one night this week I woke up a couple of times, and I just have to say, well, Lord, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. But devil, you can't do it. I just release it to you, Lord, because you know what I need, when I need it, if I need it. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. So if we don't love ourselves, we can't love other people. John 10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the devil can't kill you, but he can get you so depressed if you listen to that voice that you want to kill yourself. In fact, I know someone that's done that. They were depressed. They went to the doctor, gave them psychiatric medicine, and they ended up, it was just a comfortable way to die. And so, psychiatric medicine, did you know the side effect for psychiatric medicine is suicide? Huh?
And homicide.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I mean, people under psychiatric medicine, that lady in Houston that drowned her kids some years back, that's probably the last time I watched the news or listened to this. That was a long time ago. Drowned her kids. They never attributed it to the psychiatric medicine she was on. One lady said, my psychiatrist said that I have to keep doing this, doing that. I said, my psychiatrist told me I would never be healed. I said, if you keep going to him, you will never be healed. We've got to take God's, the great physician has to heal you. And so if the devil can get you to kill yourself or make you so depressed that you don't bear fruit, you know, God tells us as Christians, if you're a believer, you better bear fruit or you're going to get cut off. It says that in John 15. Don't think just name in the name of Christ. God wants you to do good works. He didn't save you to just live for yourself. And so he says in John 15 that if you don't bear fruit, you get cut off. Let me ask you this. Can you think of 10 good things about yourself? Most of us could think in the past, I could think of 20 bad things. But can you think of just 10 good things that you like about yourself? You know, if you can't, you've got a demon problem. You need to get deliverance from that. God wants you to love yourself. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. So if we live in fear, anxiety, and stress, we're giving place to the devil, and he has a foothold in our life. You know, there's different responses to rejection, but just say I was rejected or made fun of or laughed at or whatever, and it opened me up to rejection. But, you know, if your mother and daddy didn't reject you, then other people's rejection is just minor. But just say that you're rejected. One response would be you feel like you're no good, you feel like you're worthless. The devil said you were rejected, now you're gonna always be rejected, you're a reject, you're hopeless, you might as well kill yourself. And that one of the responses to a person that's been terribly rejected, or wounded, or lives in fear, they'll hold back and they'll bury their talent. They don't produce the good fruit God wants them to produce because fear holds them back. The other response is a person may be criticized and made fun of, and they just make a determination, nobody's going to do me this way. And so they begin to excel and become driven to be a perfectionist. And then, of course, anger and rage comes in through rejection. The scripture says in Psalms 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. God has scheduled every day of my life before I was even born. We need to focus. If you don't love yourself, you need to focus on what God's Word says about you. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. He loves you with an everlasting love. And Kernan, I want to get you to read a scripture for me. Would you read Psalm? Would you come up here and read what scripture did I want you to read? Romans 8:31-39.
Yep.
And you read it with the mic. He's got a good, strong voice.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Yes.
Can
you read all of it?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now look closely at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Yes. We are more than conquerors, yes, through him that loves us. Now, look closely at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
She needs the microphone.
Thank you. Some steps we need to do is that we need to recognize the source of our problem. We need to repent, take accountability. You know, don't say the devil made me do it or my mom and dad did this. You know, even though your mom and dad did stuff, what you're doing is taking accountability for your wrong reactions to what they said or what they did. So you are not letting the sun go down on your anger. And let me just say this too, and you can break generational curses too. It's too late to ask God to forgive your forefathers. They're either in heaven or hell if they're dead. But you can ask God, you can take accountability for what they didn't take accountability for. To repent, rejoice, and restore others. Read Isaiah 58, verse 5-14.
Okay? That's the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 5 through 14. Verse 5. Is it not such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Or is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, verse 6. Is not this a fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Look at verse 7, please. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now let's look at verse 9, please. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Now notice verse 10 closely. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, to restore of paths to dwell in. Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And the last verse, let's look at verse 14, please. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will call thee to ride upon the high place of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Amen. The angels carry out that word. If we speak that, thank you so much. Don't you appreciate him?
Amen.
Amen. I got to pray with him this morning. That was good. In fact, I just want to say I appreciate the prayer team. I appreciate the caliber of your walk with God, that you made Jesus Lord and master of your life. Amen. We're all a work in progress, but that needs to be a requirement in all of our lives, that he's the boss. There cannot be any area of your life that's not submitted to God. In fact, if he's not Lord of all, he ain't Lord at all in your life. And so, you know, we've talked before about an unloving spirit, but this really is an antichrist. Is really when we hear words that contradict the word of God, that's antichrist. And so self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, we've got to repent of that. And then we need to saturate ourselves in God's word. Whatever your particular problem is, look up the scriptures that have to do with your problem. You can go on esword.com, that's little e-SWORD.com, and that's a free download, and you can pull up all the scriptures that have to do with your particular situation and see what God has to say, and start speaking God's word. In Joshua 1:8, Joshua said, "This book of the law will not depart from my mouth, but day and night I will meditate on it, and I'll think about all the ways I'll meditate on it. Then I will have success in everything I do." Okay. See, what does that exactly say? The word of God will not depart from my mouth. Day and night I will meditate on it, be careful to do all that's written in it. Then he will make my way successful, prosperous in my way successful. I think that's, what does it say, Carla?
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Amen. Those are tremendous promises. of God, and we need to focus in on what God's Word says and quit listening to words that contradict the Word. If you don't know the Word of God, then you're going to listen to everything the devil tells you. So you need to repent of that today if you haven't, if not being a person that's studying God's Word. And so stand up and ask the Lord to show you, do you hate yourself? Can you not think of 10 good things about yourself? Do you not like how God made you? Do you walk around with sadness, fear, anxiety, and stress? Are you living in a fight or flight mode? Because it's got to stop. Because one of the most godly people I know have known has got 4 stages of cancer because she's lived in fear and anxiety and stress. Half the time they couldn't pay the phone bill, the light bill, the bill collectors, just 24/7. Not because of her sin, but because of her husband's sin. So Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me everything, Lord, that displeases you. Show me if there's fear, anxiety, stress in my life. Lord, am I living in fight or flight mode? Do I live in fear? Do I live in rejection? Am I hurt? Do I have a broken spirit? Do I have a merry heart? I ask, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. And just repent of whatever the Lord shows you. Father, I ask you to forgive me for self-hatred, unforgiveness of self, bitter toward myself, angry toward myself. Lord, forgive me for arguing with you over the way I was made. Forgive me for listening to the devil. Forgive me for not being in the Word of God. Forgive me for not meditating on the Word of God. Forgive me for meditating on the devil's words. God, would you please forgive me for living in fear, anxiety, and stress. Lord, I ask you to deliver me, set me free, so that I can walk fearless before you and upright in the name of Jesus. This day, forgive me for rejecting myself. This day, June the 27th.
No, July the
5th. Thank you. July the
3rd.
At 11:35 a.m. I accept myself. I repent of fear. I ask you to forgive me for bitterness. Repent of arguing with you, Lord, over the way I was made. I accept myself this day, July the 3rd, 2015, at 11:37 a.m., I accept myself. And Lord, I repent of walking around with a sad spirit. I forgive my mother and father for breaking my spirit if they did, for the childhood trauma I grew up under, the lies I received, that I'm rejected, that I'll always be rejected, that I'm a reject, that I'm a hopeless case, that I might as well end it all, I give up. Forgive me for those attitudes. Forgive me for confessing over and over what the devil says to me and planting in my spiritual garden thorns and thistles that is choking out the Word of God. Lord, forgive me for not speaking your word. I just repent. And Lord, I renounce the broken spirit that's come down through the generations. I break soul ties with my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them, send back their souls and spirits to them. He's changed their image for the image of Christ. And Lord, thank you for showing me that the voice that talks to me, that, and you know, this same spirit will nitpick you 24/7 if you listen to it.
Yes.
And Lord, thank you for showing me that this voice that's been talking to me is me. You know, we let it stay because we think it's us talking to us. And we put up with it. Well, don't put up with it anymore. And I tell this unloving, antichrist, satanic spirit, get out of me now. In Jesus' name, I break through power. Self-rejection, self-hate, self-bitterness, sadness, broken spirit, I command you to go. Lord, I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I command self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, torment. I command torment to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I just break the power of rejection. I command you to go. I command fear, anxiety, stress, nervousness, go in Jesus' name. Worry, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I command anxiety to leave now in Jesus' name. I break your power. Fear of not paying the bills, fear of man-pleasing spirits, compromise, you leave now in Jesus' name. Perfectionism, you have to go. Spirits that drive us toward excellence. And there's nothing wrong with excellence, Lord, but if we're feeling driven, that's demonic. I break the power of every demonic spirit of perfectionism and drivenness in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Thank you that your plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Thank you that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Thank you, Lord, that if you're for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Lord, that everything I've gone through, all the rejection, the bitterness, all the things I've gone through, Lord, you're able to work it for my good. Thank you that you're using it to conform me to your image in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Rejection, you have to go. I break the power of that lying antichrist spirit that has nitpicked them, tormented them, spoken to them, lied to them. You lying spirits, get out now in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for receiving those lies and not saying what you say about me in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Now, how many of you felt some freedom? Lift your hands if you have. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We ask you to purify it and sanctify it. And, Lord, we're grateful for it. Lord, thank you that you bless our bread and our water. You satisfy our mouth with good things, that we can eat or drink poison and it won't kill us. And I'm not referring to the food. I'm talking about the things that... I'm talking about the food that's made in China. These most delicious peaches. I've been eating these delicious organic peaches, and I looked on the can and it said product of China. I started to not eat it. Now I'm blessed. But everything, I mean, food is made, even if you buy vitamins, a lot of the stuff is made in China. So you need to pray over everything. So, Lord, we just thank you that we can even pick up serpents in there. We're not going to do that, but if we do, they won't even hurt us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you pardon our iniquities, restore our youth as that of the eagle, by your stripes we're healed. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you. Lord, we thank you for this food. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.